Let's open the scripture to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. The text is verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. As we go into the new year, beloved, it is the prayer of every true believer that God will give us wisdom. That's the prayer that we made in Psalm 90. Teach thou us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We need wisdom because we don't know what a day or a year will bring. We don't know where the Lord will lead us in this coming year. There may be mountains to climb, valleys to travel, rivers to swim. There may be joys, but also trials. And we need wisdom in order to make the decisions and to have the patience and the perseverance that we need to go on in the Christian life. We pray for wisdom. But we don't pray for wisdom just because we need that wisdom looking ahead and for the difficult times that may face us or the easy times that may be ahead of us. We need wisdom not just to make our journey through life, as it were, easier and simpler. We need wisdom especially so that we will live in 2013 in a way that brings glory to God. 2013 lies before us as a gift from God. How are we going to use it? We need wisdom in order to use it in a God-glorifying way. That's what Paul is talking about here in Ephesians chapter 5, especially verses 15 through 17. Walking in wisdom. And then in contrast to the walk of a fool says in his heart, there is no God. And he walks with that consciousness. There's no God, so there's no morality, there's no judge, there's no eternity, and he lives then simply for the here and now, in the present, for himself. But the wise acknowledge the reality of God. And wisdom is putting that reality into practical living. Living in the consciousness of God, the fear of God, that's the beginning of wisdom. And the wisdom that we need is that we live day by day in the consciousness of who God is and that God is. And then understand why we are here, to serve His glory. This morning we want to look at verse 16 under the theme, Redeeming the Time. Let's notice three things here. First, the gift of time. And then second, the calling to redeem it. And then third, the urgency of this calling. In the entire world of man, there is no gift from God so important and so precious as the gift of time. In our physical world, God has given to us many gifts. He gives us the necessities of life, food, clothing, and shelter. He gives us work as a means for income. He gives us relationships in the family and in the home and in the church. He gives us health, good health or sickness. And how we use these gifts that God has given to us is very important. We're stewards under God of everything that He's given, and all of it He has given to us for us to use in the service of Him. But in this present world, among all the gifts that God has given to us, and I don't mean here the spiritual and the eternal gifts, but the temporal gifts, the gifts of time, in this present world, there is no gift so precious as the gift of time itself, and nothing so important as how we use the time that God has given to us. Wisdom is to use this gift, to walk wisely, is to use this gift in a way that brings honor and glory to God. But why is time so precious? Why is time so important? I want to give you four reasons. First, time is precious because time is short. Time is short. Too often we live as though we have the whole world of time, as though we have a bottomless supply. We think that we have all the time in the world, like someone having a pocket full of money. And they spend it, and they spend it, and they spend it with abandon because there's always more in that pocket, and there's more in the other pocket. And that's the way we deal too often with time, but that's not the case. We don't have a bottomless supply of time. Each of us has a limited supply of time. In eternity past, God sovereignly designated the existence and the limits of the existence of every man. He's determined a length of time. He determined the day of each person's birth and the day of each person's death. He appointed it. And we cannot go beyond the limits of time that God has given to us. Listen to what the Scriptures say. 1 Peter 1:17, pass the time of your sojourning with fear and trembling. And notice the time is definite. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, verse 16 as well, redeeming the time. That's not open-ended. It's not redeeming some of the time or redeeming all the times, but it's the time. It's very specific. In Job 14, verses 5 and 14, Job says this concerning man: his days are determined. The number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. And so 1 Corinthians 7, verse 29, the time is short. Why is time precious? Because time is short. Second, time is precious because time, once used, cannot be recovered. Time keeps rolling on, and each moment that we receive in time is an opportunity that we either use or that we miss, and we'll never get it back again. We sing in Psalm 90, time like an ever-rolling stream bears all its sons away. The word for time here indicates that time is an opportunity given from God. There are two words in the Greek for time. The first is chronos, and you understand the word chronology. It refers to the progress of time, that time just keeps on moving on. The other word is kairos, and that's the word here. And this doesn't look at all of time and the chronology of history, but this word focuses on each moment of time. It, as it were, zooms in on the moments of time and sees them as opportunities and gifts from God. It's the same word that's used in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, where it would seem very strange to translate it as time. It's translated as opportunity. Galatians 6, verse 10, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And the idea is opportunity. Paul doesn't mean there, as you have time, do good, so that you can say, well, I don't have time, so I'm not going to do good to others. No, as you have opportunity, as God places those moments of opportunity before you, as He gives them to you. That's the idea of time here. It's a gift. And once it's missed or used, it cannot be recovered. In the progress of time, there are windows of opportunity that God gives to us. When we're young, He gives us strength and vigor that we don't have later. For a few years, we have our children in the home with us, and that's a God-appointed time for us to use as stewards for spiritual influence in their life. That's true of every moment and every day. We need to think of the question, what opportunities has God given us in the time that He gives to us, the time that He gives to you today, as you zoom in on the moments that God gives to you in your life. You cannot recover the moments of time. A man may have wealth and lose it all and then recover it and come back richer than before. A man may have relationships and he ruins them all with sin, but they can be recovered through repentance and forgiveness. A man may have good health and become sick and be, as it were, on the moment of, at the point of death, and then recover and receive good health again. But time can never be recovered. You cannot relive today. You cannot recover time, and therefore time is precious. And then third, time is precious because it is uncertain. Not only is it short, But we don't know how short it is. No one can know the day and the hour of his death or the day and the hour of the coming of Jesus Christ. In that sense, time is always running on and running out. Every day could be the last day, and we don't know that. And we ought to live every day as though it's the last day. Dying men. That's the wisdom that the psalmist asks for in Psalm 90. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Or as he puts it in Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5, Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine ages as nothing before thee. Verily, each man at his best state is altogether vanity. James says, your life is a vapor. This is wisdom. To realize how short and uncertain the days of our existence are, and to live as though each day is the last that the Lord has given to us. Now, I suppose you could say that that's the way the world lives. The world lives as though each day is the last day. They say, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Let's get all the pleasure into today of this earth that we can, because we might not have these opportunities for pleasure again. That's the wisdom of the world, which doesn't acknowledge God. But wisdom is to fear God. And acknowledging Him, that means that we live today as though it is our last day. We bring ourselves forward in our minds. Wisdom is to bring yourself forward in your mind to the last hour of your existence. In the last hour of your existence, let's say you're on your bed and you're sick and you know today's the day. My breath and my strength are failing. In those last hours of existence, what is important to the child of God? There are people to embrace. There are relationships and friendships to restore. There are family members to speak to and children to instruct. These are the important things suddenly. And those ought to be the important things in our life always on an ongoing basis, so that death isn't a crisis of undone things and regrets. The time is uncertain. And then there's a fourth reason that time is precious. And that's the relationship of time now to eternity to come. And that's a mutual relationship. Eternity should bear on time. Our life in heaven, in which God will be all in all, should have a massive influence on our life here in the earth. I just said we should bring ourselves forward in wisdom to the moment of death. What we should do in wisdom too is bring ourselves to the moment beyond death, when we stand in eternity in the presence of God in all His glory and majesty. What then will be important? And that's what should be important to us today. Eternity should bear on our existence in time. And that gives us the wisdom and the ability to make the right decisions in life. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. And this is Moses living in Egypt. Moses, by faith, we read in Hebrews 11, verse 24, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was given all kinds of earthly opportunities, but he refused them. And this was wisdom. Why? Because verse 25, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, because he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. That is, in his mind, he put himself beyond death in the presence of God. He had respect unto that eternal day, the recompense, the reward, the day of judgment. And living in that consciousness, letting eternity bear on his life in the present, he was able to make the right decisions in his life. This is the way that Jesus himself lived. Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. How could Jesus go through the suffering and the agony of Gethsemane and Calvary? It was this, that he had respect to what was beyond death. Eternity in the presence of God with the company of the redeemed, which was his desire and his longing and the purpose of his coming. He had that before him. And so he persevered through the will of God, which was his suffering and our salvation. And so there's that relationship, but that relationship goes the other way as well. The way what we do with our time in the present has eternal results. How we use our time in the present has eternal results. If a man squanders and wastes the time that God gives to him here, he's going to pay for that in eternity. What a man sows, that shall he reap. If his concern is only the earthly, only getting ahead, on being the winner, on gaining the world, that man who strives to win everything here will be the biggest loser, the eternal loser in the life to come. What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world, Jesus says, and lose his soul? Time now has eternal results. And that's true not just with respect to our own souls and our own eternal well-being, but also others whom God puts in our path and gives us opportunity to be a spiritual witness and influence to. There are only two things here in this world that will go beyond into eternity. One is the Word of God, and the other is the souls of men. What opportunities does God put in front of you in the lives of your children? Your time with them is short. In the fellow members of the church. And how can you minister and encourage to them spiritually? Your neighbors, the people that you work with, whoever it is that God puts in your pathway. You remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. He was a man who saw an opportunity when he saw the man suffering on the side of the road. And he redeemed the time that God gave to him there. God gives us opportunities to speak and to witness in a way that will have eternal results. What are we doing with those opportunities? So time is precious because of its relationship to eternity. And so we have a calling, redeem the time. What does that mean? Well, first, the opposite to it would be to waste time. To waste time. To miss the opportunities that God gives us. To use time in a way that glorifies and honors Him. Who are the biggest time wasters? These three people. First, those who do nothing and are involved in idleness. They may not be doing anything bad, but they're just doing nothing. They're doing nothing good. They're idle. They fritter away their time in unprofitable activities. Sometimes these people have a lot to say, but that itself proves their laziness. Proverbs 14, verse 23, "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury." It's idle chatter. All talk, no action. They are lazy. That's time wasting. Or second, who are these time wasters? Those involved in wickedness, who use time in the service of sin. Sin is a waste of a life, a waste of time. Not just, we have in mind here, not just immoral people who live immorally, but even unclean talk and dirty humor and being entertained with the sinful lifestyle of the world, or backbiting, or quarreling, or stirring up strife. People who use their time only in these sinful ways and never use it positively. Waste their time. And in the end, their life amounts to nothing profitable. Or third, those who waste time are those who are involved only in earthly pursuits. Only in earthly pursuits. Yes, God calls us to work, but not just for earthly purposes. These time wasters care about what they eat, what they drink, how they're dressed, what they drive, where they live, what people are seeing, what people are saying about them. And they give no thought to eternal things. Where are they in society? What are people thinking about them? They use time maybe very carefully. Maybe they're great time managers, but never with eternal purposes. Always, always for themselves. Over against that, it's our calling to redeem time. Redeem time. Now, the word redeem is not just to buy it or to get it for yourself. One of the great ways in which we waste time that God has given to us is that we hoard it for ourselves. We say, it's my time. God doesn't give us time just for ourselves. No, when we redeem time, we put it to a beneficial use for ourselves, for others, and for the glory of the name of God. God has blessed you with time. He makes you responsible as a steward for the time that He's given to you. And now, as a steward, you redeem that time by pressing it in the service of God. You use it up in ways that bring glory to His name. Now, it's interesting that the word redeem is used here. When we think of redeeming something, when we think of redemption, we think of the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's related here. Sunday I preached to you on God reconciling the world to Himself by Jesus Christ. Redeeming it from the curse of sin. Not just His people, but this whole world. This whole created universe God has redeemed to serve His own purposes. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, they pressed this world into the service of Satan, and now God has reconciled it to Himself. And you see, in the redeeming work of the cross, Jesus redeemed time also as something now not to be pressed in the service of Satan, but that God would give to His people to use for His glory. Christ has redeemed time. And our redeeming time means that we receive time as a gift from God and become good stewards of it, that we use it for the purposes that He has intended for it. Christ shed His blood to give time to us. What are we doing with that time? We're going to give an account to God for our use of His time. The stewards. You remember the parable, the one we read in Matthew 25, of the talents. The master distributed 5 and 2 and 1 talent to his servants respectively. Those talents represent anything that Christ has given to us that we are to use profitably for His service. Not just time, but the talents, the gifts that God has given to us, the opportunities, the family, the church, the money, the job, the day-to-day life that we have, the health that we have. The talents represent those things. These two who had received 5 and 2 talents invested them. They put them to a profitable use, but the one who received 1 went and hid it. He kept it. He did nothing. He wasted it through laziness. And hear what the Lord said to him when he came back. Thou wicked and slothful servant. That's strong language. We don't think of laziness and time wasting as wickedness. But it is. Thou wicked and faithful and slothful servant. And the central thing here then in this calling of redeeming time is that we use all the time that God has given to us in wisdom to live for Him. 2013 lies before us, a gift of 365 days. And we should think of this on a daily basis. God has given us opportunities each day to serve Him, to live for Him, to resist sin. Every moment is a jewel, a gift, a golden jewel, a golden opportunity from God to serve Him. Fools throw away gifts and jewels from God. This is more than just making a resolution. There are those who are always going to. They're always going to study the Scripture. They're always going to spend time in prayer. They're always going to bring their faith and speak to their neighbors of it. They're always going to put away sin, but they just never get to it. Redeeming the time is not just always going to be going to do something, but it's doing it. Doing it. The greatest fool is the waster of time. As we have opportunity, let us. Paul says in Galatians 6, verse 10, as we have opportunity, let us. Let us do good to all men. That is, let us redeem the time. Let us, as it were, grab the opportunity to serve the Lord. What about your personal time? For years, you've been going to spend time with the Lord personally. What about your family time, the children that God has given to you, and the brief time that you have to have with them? Are you redeeming it? Are you investing that time in their spiritual welfare? What about the time that you have with your husband or your wife, your spouse? Do you take the time to contribute to their spiritual needs, to encourage them? What about your time for the church and the kingdom? God puts opportunities in front of you for the study of His Word with fellow believers, to encourage other members, opportunities to use your gift in some way in the church, even if it's something as simple as taking out the garbage. Those opportunities are there. Are you redeeming the time that God has given? There's an urgency here. Paul says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. Now that could mean one of three different things. It could mean that our days are filled with trouble and affliction. Jacob says to Pharaoh, my days are few and evil. He means they're filled with trial and trouble. Or it could mean that the days of our life are so saturated with sin, with our own sin. We commit so much sin that the few opportunities that we have to redeem time to serve God and live to His glory should be taken. The days are evil. Or it could mean that we live in a very evil world. And living in a very evil world means for us that we should take every opportunity that we have to be lights in the world of darkness and to use the light that we have to address the evil of the world in which we live in. And to realize as well that because of the evil of this world that we live in, the opportunities of time are passing. Soon the world will press in on us with persecution and our times will become much more scarce. In the context here, it's this third one that I believe Paul has in mind. We live in an evil world. And redeeming the time is being a light in the midst of an evil world that's trying to put out that light. And this evil world is going to press in hard on God's people and take away these times, these opportunities that God has given to us. You know, every time that the church has persecuted God's people, suddenly become earnest and urgent about the precious time that they have to worship God together. When the church is persecuted, then believers will grab every opportunity they can to encourage one another, to speak to one another about the things of God, to speak earnestly to their children, to serve others in the body, to give a testimony in the midst of a dark world. And now God gives us so much liberty and so many opportunities in our personal lives, in our families, in the church, in the world and community in which we live, so many opportunities. Are we redeeming the time? Are we using them, pressing them in the service of God? The time is short. It's time for us to wake up from our spiritual slumber, to examine the use of our time, to see where our priorities lie, to resolve to redeem the time that God has given to us. Each of you, consider how much time you've already lost and wasted. The clock is ticking. You don't have time to waste. Consider the great spiritual responsibilities that God has placed upon you, which increase as you progress in your Christian life, as God gives you spiritual responsibilities in your family, in your home. And then consider as well that your strength wanes as you get older, so that you can't do what you could do. We have less time, we have greater responsibilities, and we have less stamina. Redeem the time. Consider a dying believer. When he comes to the end of his life, there's one regret and one desire. It's not a regret that he didn't have more money, or that he hadn't picked a different career, or that he hadn't married another woman, or that he hadn't traveled in other places. But the believer's regret is this: I wasted time. And his desire is to wind the clock back, to do things differently, to redeem that time in a different way. Think about that. But we can't wind the clock back. We can't redo, we can't relive the moments that God has given to us now. Let's redeem the time now, this year. Let's be thankful for the precious gift of time. Let's be busy using it in a way that brings glory to God, that's beneficial spiritually to us and to others. And think ahead to what will be important to you in the last moments of your life. Think ahead with wisdom to the moment when you'll stand before God and what will be important then. And let those things be important in the present, and let us redeem the time that God has given to us now to press them in the service of those important purposes. May God give us to count our days and apply our hearts to wisdom. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for